First item on the business agenda is possible reconsideration and work session on Senate Bill 101 A and 101-2. Steve? Let's see, we've locked on the, yeah, we have.
Mr. Chair, LFO recommends that you reconsider the vote by which you made recommendations last Friday on Senate Bill 101 and 102. We've discovered a need for a fairly minor technical fix, but the bills do have to be corrected before they can move forward. So we would recommend that you reconsider that vote. And I prepared a one-page sheet with the materials that you have directly under the agenda itself. You'll see a one-page sheet with some bullet items.
Okay, if there's no objection, we will reconsider the vote by which we... Did we pass that to full ways and means?
Yes, you did.
We passed Senate Bill 101A and 2 to the full ways and means. So, Steve, tell us what we want to do here.
Mr. Chair, the problem with the bills as they were passed out by the subcommittee is really quite technical in nature. There was a situation where the bills were giving a continuous appropriation to the boards that the bills established and the Department of Higher Ed. And that doesn't work. You can't give continuous appropriation to two separate entities. So legislative council has prepared the SB 101-A4 amendments and the SB 102-A4 amendments to correct this technical problem. The solution is to house the each board. There is the Higher Education Technology Transfer Fund Board and the Higher Education Transfer Technology Account Board to house both of these boards within the Department of Higher Education. That solves the funding problem, and it is intended that this will have no impact on the duties or powers of the boards that are being established or on their functions or operations. It's merely a funding correction.
May I have a motion to adopt the amendments, SB 101-4?
I so move.
Representative Winters moves the adoption of the Dash 4 amendments to SB 101. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. And now we need to send the amended Senate Bill 101, amended with the Dash 4 amendments, to the full ways and means of the due pass recommendation.
And so move.
Representative Winters moves that. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. Now, Steve, you want to explain 102, or it's the same thing?
It's the exact same problem, and the Dash A4 amendments also correct that.
Are there any questions regarding the Dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 102?
I so move.
Representative Winters moves that we amend Senate Bill 102A with the Dash 4 amendments. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. And Representative Winters moves the amended A and Gross Senate Bill 102 to the full ways and means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Thank you.
And now we will close that work session on 101 and 102 and open a work session on three Senate bills, starting with Senate Bill 595. A. What we are to do.
You have before you today three bills, one of which you've actually heard before, Senate Bill 595. You had a public hearing on this on the 11th of June. This is a bill that would support a pilot program on elementary school reading instruction in certain school districts. There was a question about the fiscal. Representative Potson had some questions about the actual fiscal impact. So we've got an updated fiscal from you. Got some information from Portland Public Schools subsequent to the hearing on the 11th, and I've got that in your packet for you, plus a copy of the staff measure summary. There's also a request to hear a related bill, or a bill that dealt with a similar subject, phonics, and that is House Bill 3941. And that measure directs the University of Oregon to develop, implement, and monitor a pilot program entitled the Early Success Reading Initiative for the State of Oregon. And then the Department of Education would award grants to 30 selected school districts meeting certain criteria. There is an appropriation in the bill, $230,000 general fund to the Department of Higher Education for OUS's responsibilities, and then $270,000 to the Department of Ed for the school district grants that would be distributed. And then finally, House Bill 2598 is before you. That is the bill that would create a task force to be staffed by the Department of Education for the purposes of studying a number of issues relating to special education. So I don't know if you have anybody signed up for testimony. This is a work session.
Yeah. Have we had this bill before us before?
595, we did.
So 595 did have before you.
Mm-hmm.
There were some questions on the fiscal impact as well as the relationship to House Bill 3941. I didn't see a sign up sheet.
No, because this, as you say, is a work session.
But there may be people.
Yes, if there's anyone in the audience that feels they need to speak to 595, why, Senator, would you like to?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. State Senator Charles Starr from Senate District 5. We did discuss this previously, and I have not seen the updated fiscal, but I believe you do have that now, and that should have answered some of the questions. I would be open to answer any questions from the committee.
Questions from the committee? Senator, does this bill, 595, have any life or use without the funding, which I see is $114,000 for the 10 schools, Portland Public Schools, in 201-203?
Does it have any life without the funding? Not likely.
Any use? Okay. And I know you understand about ODE funds that we're searching for a lot of good programs like this program. But,
yes, I understand that. And I brought this forward because I think it's so vital to what we're trying to do, and that's leave no child behind. And without implementing some pilot programs, I feel that we're just not closing that gap. We're not addressing the needs, and if we demonstrate through pilot programs that we can close that gap, then we've really accomplished something for the long run, and will give us greater direction or better direction for the future.
What's the play? Yes, Senator Trill.
Did the Department of Education testify on this? I noticed that the testing they've been doing shows a dramatic improvement in reading, generally. Did they testify that they thought this was an appropriation that we needed? Is this where they'd spend $100,000 or more?
I don't believe that we had supporting testimony from them. And in fact, we've had for many years, as I've worked in this process, a resistance to doing anything about implementing explicit phonics as a foundation for reading in our state. And I think that if we don't do that this time, we've just missed another opportunity. We have, in fact, had a great deal of resistance to doing that, even though the University of Oregon has demonstrated in schools all across America the benefits of direct instruction of explicit phonics. We have not yet implemented that.
Mr. Chair, is explicit phonics different from just phonics?
It certainly is. There's implicit phonics, which is utilized in the whole language instruction program, which has proven very ineffective in reaching all children. Explicit phonics is a systematic program that is taught with the sounds of the language taught explicitly by direct instruction.
Students who need to be taught that way, are they taught that way anyway?
They are not.
So this is just for what percentage of students need explicit phonics?
All students would benefit from the program, but some who have not the support at home, are not read to as young children, don't have a foundation, don't even know the alphabet when they come to kindergarten, they are the ones most needing the program and who will benefit in to the greatest extent through the early testing and early intervention. So I think that is what's proposed in this bill as well as in the House bill, which would have the University of Oregon supervising 30 schools who would benefit from the pilot program.
Is there anybody here from the University of Oregon that could tell us about it?
I'm not here from the University of Oregon, but I am here to represent the bill that involves the University of Oregon.
Sure, come forward, please. Identify yourself and respond to Senator Crow's question as best you can.
Linda Carnine, Lane County Community Action Forum, and I and a group of people working on a Community Action Forum Education Committee initiated the work on Bill, the House Bill 3941, which does involve the University of Oregon.
How does it involve them?
Basically, they have been working with the State Department of Education for a couple of years now, and it involves just expanding some of that work that they've already been doing.
Teaching explicit.
Well, and I want to say it's not a specific program at all. Basically, the approach and what they're working on is trying to build capacity in elementary schools so that they can select appropriate materials and instructional practices that have a research base that will prevent failure. And like Senator Starr was saying, close that gap. It's not any particular program or any particular assessment. There are some good ones available, but the University of Oregon has been working with ODE to help districts just in, empower them and help them get these things underway so that they can close that gap. That basically is does that answer your question, Sam?
I guess. Yeah. Representative Hobson has a question.
Yes, Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My friends will laugh, but I'm just linear enough that I think we're mixing the two bills together here, which is confusing me a little, because if I'm understanding correctly, the University of Oregon actually has nothing to do with Senate Bill 595, about which we're talking.
Correct.
I'm getting confused.
I am too. I just said it too.
No, you didn't say that it did, did you?
No, I
you
didn't.
You said the University of Oregon is
right, that's only on Bill 3941.
Yeah, right.
The Senate Bill 595 is... It doesn't disagree or anything, but it's a separate bill that would give direct support to Portland
yes.
and larger school districts with the same kind
Mr.
of...
Chair, I thought that Senator Starr said that the University of Oregon would be sort of supervising this program in some way. No? What did you say? Sorry.
I'm sorry if you understood that, but that is not what I said at all. I did mix the two bills, though, and 595 is a program where the Portland schools would undertake to utilize their in-house staff as mentors in some of the crisis schools that are not using the explicit phonics approach to lay the foundation for reading. And the small fiscal there gives them a two-year program to train the teachers, to pay for substitute teachers while teachers are being mentored and trained, and to move them through, buy the materials, and to provide that program then over a two-year period.
So what did you say about the University of Oregon?
I said about the University of Oregon that they have had a model reading program that's been utilized in schools all across the country, and now that we're trying to get that introduced and incorporated into Oregon public schools. And that this pilot, 30-school pilot program that they're talking about here would begin to roll that out into the schools across the state, supervised by the University of Oregon and the State Department of Education.
Okay, members, as you know, we do have tight budgets, particularly with in education, and specifically to 595, why that is for Portland Public Schools pilot program in 10 schools, cost $114,000. First, next biennium, and then $34,000 the next biennium, and the Portland Public School System says they cannot absorb that in their present operation, and I know how tight it is for other requests for Department of Education funds. So what I would like to do, the concept is very important. I don't want to just let the bill die for lack of action, but I have approval from the co-chairs to remove the funding and move this on the concept, because as Senator Trowe mentioned, there are signs of improvement in our reading scores as reported in the paper, but as you said, Representative Winters, there's lots of holes there that need to be addressed, and so maybe if we could keep this bill, alive with no funding so that the concept is known, I'd like to do that. And Sue, what would we have to do to the bill to do that?
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, if you turn over to page 2 of the bill, you'll see that section 2 has a blank general fund appropriation, so that would have to be deleted. And you could, if you so choose, add the somewhat standard language that allows the Department of Education to seek gift grants, donations, and federal funds for the purpose of implementing the program if you wanted to do that.
Do I have a motion to adopt that conceptual amendment?
I so move.
Is there any objection to the motion? Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, hearing none. So adopted. Yes, come on. Patricia, or Patty, however you wish to be known.
Whatever you like.
Yes.
For the record, I'm Patricia O'Sullivan, Portland Public Schools. While I appreciate what you're doing, there's a couple of things. One thing is that this bill doesn't have language that says availability of funds. So I don't want in any way anyone to think that we're going to go do this program, because we're not. We don't have the funds available to do it. So I guess I just ask why we would want to put this on the books, because quite frankly, there's nothing in this bill that we couldn't do already if we had the funds. And the only thing, frankly, the bill is good for would to be to get the funds to do the pilot program the way it's set up. And so, you didn't ask my opinion, I don't get a vote, but I don't see why you would want to pass a bill that has no funds and it goes on the books, and it appears the perception then is that somebody's doing this pilot program and we're not.
You, of course, do have funds in the Portland Public Schools to teach reading.
Correct.
And do you use the kind of teaching or the phonics that's called from the bill now?
My understanding, Chair Hartung, is that we use explicit phonics in three schools, not the entire schools, but in three schools. The reading curriculum is decided at the local level based on the kinds of children in that school, whether they have a lot of English language learners, whether they have a lot of low-income kids, minority kids, and just where they're at in their reading and what types of reading curriculum are best for those children. So this would have been very strategic in what schools we picked and compared. And I think that the best part of this pilot program would have been the comparison to see if explicit phonics, given the same kinds of kids, would have increased their reading skills over the pilot period. Other than that, our reading curriculum is picked out for 3 years at a time, and that's already done. We would have had to as it says in the bill, the board would have had to put it into the reading curriculum already that the schools are using. So having said that, I mean, you know, if you pass the bill, that's fine, but I don't want anybody to think that we're going to do this pilot program in and of itself. We do use explicit phonics in some schools, yes.
Well, what would make you think that you're directed to use this with the amendments that we have in front of us to consider?
Chair Hartung, I guess 24 years in state government where bills are passed and said you don't have to do it, and 2 years later we're back in front of you, people asking us why we didn't do it. It's just paranoia on my Irish self, I guess.
Well, let me share the paranoia from a legislator on the same point. I think if we have this in front of you, maybe with the existing funds, you might take a look and see if this does work, and that wouldn't require any additional funds, I don't think. And the way we are proposing to amend this bill, if there should be some grants, federal grants or wherever, to implement that, why, wouldn't you agree it would be well to have a vehicle to receive those funds to see if this really would work?
I would not disagree with you, Senator. I am not a reading specialist and I'm not an education specialist, so I can't sit here today and tell you that we would implement a pilot project like this on our own. It would really be up to our reading curriculum people to do that.
Well, I'm not asking you to do that, only if there is some special grant or funds, you know, specific for this. I'm sure your people would be happy to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't object to our amendments, and you are on the record that you want to make sure that there's not an understanding this is directing you to do it.
That's correct.
Senator Troll?
Well, I don't know what we're doing if we're not directing them to do something. There's an established pilot program and so forth, and each school district of greater than 50,000 shall participate in the pilot program. I mean, that's what we're putting into the statutes.
But, Senator, we're not offering any money. So
no, we're not offering any money, but we're telling them to do something. And State Department says they don't want us to tell them to do this, and the Board of Education, which makes education policy, has not recommended this, so here we are doing it anyway.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to vote for it. Thank you.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your discussion about what funds exist and don't exist. I would imagine that one of the districts I represent would probably object to this, too, on the basis they don't have funds, and yet just, I think this week, they were able to grant an 11% increase to the staff. But I would suggest that just 2 days ago, I think it was, we passed a bill, maybe it was just yesterday, in Ways and Means, that encouraged smaller schools.
Mm-hmm.
And was kind of a direction, a sense of where we ought to go, expressed by this particular assembly. Had no money attached to it because we knew we couldn't build 800 student schools at every location, especially the fast growth districts. But we passed it.
Good
to the extent that this is an encouragement, then and that's all it is without funds, and it gets people focused on the message, I think it's beneficial.
Doesn't this vehicle also, thank you, Mr. Chair, provide for, should there is other funds available, like federal grants, or maybe somebody wants to make foundation monies available to this, the vehicle's there. We do this, we've done this not only with this bill, with the other bills that we know that we could not fund, but leaving the door open for the probabilities or possibilities that may be coming through, particularly in light of knowing that the current Bush administration, with the focus on leaving no child behind and the focus on reading initiatives, across this country. So should those dollars become available, the vehicle is here to with which to accept them. I think we've done that in other instances, and I don't see this one any different.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Sue, and then Representative Hobson.
Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I have a couple of concerns with this. First of all, the message is to Portland School District to use explicit phonics, and I think that's a good message, but if I understood correctly from Ms. O'Sullivan, they already are in at least three schools, so the opportunity is there to already do an evaluation of that and to continue with it if they want. The other thing is, again, since this only applies to Portland, they already have the capability of accepting grant funds, gifts, donations, whatever. On the other side, I do have to agree with Senator Miller that we do occasionally pass bills that probably don't have a whole lot of substance to them. But this is more than a recommendation, I think.
Okay.
Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, I just wanted to point out that in my conversations with legislative counsel, it is assumed that if the funding isn't provided for the program, then they don't implement it. And also, I would point out there are a couple of programs that I can think of off the top of my head. There's a teacher mentor program on the in the statute that has not been funded. There's a successful schools program in statute.
And the Oregon Social Studies program that is in statute that has not been funded.
So anyway, it is my understanding that if the legislation doesn't have funding attached to it, that it's assumed that they won't implement it if they can't find other sources. And I can clarify further with legislative counsel to make sure that the conceptual amendment in final form is appropriately worded.
Okay, we have before us, if there's no more discussion, the conceptual amendments. And Sue, would you read those again, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, it would be, again, deleting Section 2, which is a blank appropriation for this program, and then putting in language to the effect that the department may seek gifts, grants, donations, and federal funds. Mr. Chair and Senator Trow, I'm sorry, I thought I was supposed to reiterate.
Did we approve that?
Yeah.
That was
okay. We did
that was
where
the
winners
moved.
Okay, and everyone understands the what the amended bill does now. Does someone want to make a motion to pass this to the full Ways and Means with due pass?
I so move.
Representative Winters moves. Ian goes Senate Bill 595 with the -4. Amendments to the full Ways and Means for the due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Clerk will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed no. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Winters?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Hobson?
No.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Senator
Crowe? No.
Senator Miller?
Aye.
Senator Hartman?
Aye. Motion is passed. Representative Winters will carry it to the full. And do we need a carry and Senator Starr carry it to the House and Representative Winters to the floor. So we will now consider.
It works, well. Do double duty.
Yes.
We'll now open the work session on. 3941A. Sue, tell us what this does, please.
Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, this measure directs the University of Oregon to develop, implement, and monitor a pilot program entitled the Early Success Reading Initiative. And then the Oregon Department of Education would award grants to 30 selected school districts meeting certain criteria. And there's some required reporting on the progress of the program. If you turn to page 2 of this bill, on lines 25 and 26, you'll see that that language already provides for the University of Oregon to seek grants and private funds to support the Early Success Reading Initiative. It does have a fiscal impact. You'll see in sections 6 and 7, there's an appropriation of $230,000 general fund to Department of Higher Education for the University of Oregon, and then $270,000 general fund for the Department of Education as well. And so in order to move the bill, again, you'd have to remove that, those two sections that appropriate the general fund.
Mr. Chair, have we had a hearing on this one?
Mr. Chair and Senator Trove, no, you have not had a hearing on 3941. I don't know if there's anybody in the audience.
Representative Cruz is here. I think it's his bill.
Okay, we can certainly open it to invited testimony. And Representative Cruz,
thank you for the invitation.
Representative, you are invited.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Representative Jeff Cruz, District 45. To answer Senator Trove's question, this bill did have a full hearing before my committee in the House, and all issues were discussed. This is an absolutely wonderful program. It's something we do need to implement. We discussed, of course, substantive committees don't make money decisions, but the amount of funds that were put in the bill were done so for a specific reason, and that was so that we could roll this out at this point in time. I don't want to take a whole lot of your time, and I know time is short right now, but I would say that a program like this that has such an incredibly high success rate as far as having children at reading at grade level at the end of third grade is something that we shouldn't ignore and something that we should embrace and we should implement. So I strongly recommend this bill. I think it is maybe one of the more beneficial pieces of legislation we could pass for the young kids in the state of Oregon.
Thank you, Representative. And yes, Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is, you said a program such as this, which specific program were you referring to?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hobson, I'm referring to the Early Success Reading Initiative program at the University of Oregon.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
My understanding in reading the bill is that there isn't a specific program referred to. It's that the Early Success is going to monitor some programs.
Further clarification, Mr. Chair, Representative Hobson, it's not a prescriptive program. It's a menu of services available, and what they do is they assess the reading deficiencies in children and then direct the sorts of tools necessary to bring those kids up to level, depending upon the individual child. Not all kids have the same problem with reading. There are as many different types of problems as there are children, and it is a program, but it's tailored specifically to children to make sure that they have the appropriate tools for that child.
Yes, follow up.
Mr. Chair, the question actually is, are we going to have witness discussion from the people who are sponsoring this? Like the University of Oregon, I don't want to put Representative Cruz on the spot with questions that he might not.
Sure, we can call forward anyone that has something to offer. Let's hear from the Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Phil Barnhart. I'm the state representative from District 40. The bill was heard in one of the two committees that I was a member of, and I think it was actually the Student Achievement and School Accountability Committee. But in any event, I agree with everything else that Representative Cruz has said about the bill. This bill, the intention of this bill, and I think Ms. Carnine can be a bit more explicit than I can, but the intent of this bill is to build on the research base already available from the University of Oregon College Education program on reading. It includes the kinds of techniques that are involved in that have been demonstrated scientifically to be beneficial to help students learn to read. And as I understand it, it's more than simply a program in the classroom, but a program that would involve the entire school in the process of building the support base for reading. This particular bill is set up and funded for I think it's 30 districts to have one school each in which the program would be set up, operated, evaluated by the University of Oregon program, with the idea in mind that you would start the process of getting all teachers to the stage at which they can use best practices, the research-based information available for the for reading instruction. And of course, on the part of the district, this would be a voluntary thing to get involved in it. And the 30 districts, of course, is a relatively small number, but it's a beginning process for this program.
Thank you. Questions, Representative Barnhart? Yes, Representative Huff.
I'm sorry, I'll wait for Dr.
Yes, Senator.
Just to Representative Barnhart, I appreciate your comments on it. Is this program something that is being used now in teacher training for teachers who are going into this? Is it the kind of thing that the School of Education would then incorporate as they train teachers?
That's an excellent question, and it's one that I didn't actually ask when I was exploring this bill, so I don't know the answer to it. I sure hope so, that they're incorporating it in their own teaching program. Of course, their the number of students in that program in any one year is relatively small. My recollection is that at the university now, they're training approximately 90 students a year with a certificate in general education for students, and that would include not just elementary education, but also high school. So that would be a smaller number than that.
Representative Hobson. Do you have a follow-up?
No.
Or Representative Smith?
Was it a couple days ago we passed out of here House Bill 2298? Okay, and it's the governor's reading program to target third and fifth grade readers. How is this different, or is it a redundancy, or can the funding be used back and forth? Because to me, this kind of sounds like that. I want some clarification on because we've already passed that out of here, so I don't, I'm kind of confused. Maybe somebody out here in the Netherlands can.
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Chair Hartung and committee members. I think the key.
Identify yourself again.
I'm again Linda Carnine,
yes,
from the Community Action Forum Education Committee in Lane County. I think that the thing that distinguishes this bill from others is that it's a focus on very early intervention. And I want to mention, it sounds, everything...
Excuse me, can I interrupt?
Yeah.
Certainly.
Don't address generally. I want to know specifically to 2298. We can talk generally all day, but because that's very specific, it has a lot of money, Jeff, attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering...
Yeah, we need
Jean
to come up with it.
Yeah, who?
No. Jean Thorne, could you explain how this relates to the school?
Because I don't want, my thing is, I don't want to be passing redundant pieces of legislation, copying programs. It gets expensive. I'm wondering if we can,
Mr. Chair and Representative Smith, Jean Thorne from the Governor's Office, the bill you passed Saturday, the School Improvement Fund, didn't actually have the money in it. I think you're going to be dealing with that later in an appropriation bill. But it set up the structure fund. The initial focus is on third and fifth grade reading and math benchmarks. And there's nothing in the bill that would prohibit schools, once the appropriation is also made to the bill, for utilizing a program such as this. But the bill establishes performance targets and a list of allowable uses, which could include a program such as this, class size reduction, professional development, things like that. So that the appropriation will be in a separate bill.
Okay, so that bill says do it, but it doesn't say how.
That's correct.
This bill would say how.
This would, as I understand, would establish a program that some school districts.
So this bill could be funded that appropriation in another bill, I'm wondering.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, the funding that would accompany the school improvement fund would allow, which goes to school districts. Mm-hmm. It goes to school districts. It doesn't go to the state. School districts could utilize their fund.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of money in that appropriation for the appropriation bill, companion bill 2298.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, 2298 does not have any money in it.
I know, but the appropriation bill, and I don't remember, is that
5513.
Okay, so I'm wondering if somehow we couldn't to get this funded, if that is the will of the committee. I know that I am confusing folks, but maybe Representative Winters, do you know what I'm talking? To try to get away from duplicate programs, duplicate monies here, if we go with the 20, if we get the funding for 2298, to me this would fit in there.
Because I think we're kind of doing some apples and oranges here. And in looking at the intent of 3941, which talks about K and not just necessarily third grade reading, and so you have that issue really when I'm looking at the difference between what we passed out and the framework that we passed out that's targeted to the third grade. That's one different distinction as I am reading what the intent of 3941. So that's a different piece that would not fit into the initiative that you passed, that we passed out the other day. The other pieces, as I understand the intent of the legislation, is to select the 30 lowest achieving schools, so that you're actually beginning to set up a pilot kind of operation to begin to look at that population. Am I correct so far?
Mm-hmm.
So there is a difference. There is a difference in the intent of the two pieces of legislation.
You know,
excuse me, Representative Barnhart, did you have something you
wanted to add? I wanted to add to that, and I think Representative Winters has summarized it very well. But
okay.
Let me make a slightly different slice on it, if I may. As I understand the government's proposal that the committee apparently acted on the other day and the appropriation for which is coming up, that proposal really takes $110 million out of the CSL, mm-hmm. as conceived by the state system, a CSL number which I consider to be grossly inadequate, by the way. The House members know this because I've said this many times on the House side, but the senators might want to be aware of that too. And then added another $110 million to that number. And the idea, if I understand it, if I can sort of change the way in which Representative Smith described it, is really to force school districts to focus on that primary reading level issue. And to take the steps that are necessary to allocate resources for that purpose. There also, unless the bill got amended, there also is a section in that bill that says if you've already met the requirements of the bill, then you can spend the funds on something else. For example, the district that I come from in Eugene, for the most part, has already met the requirements of the bill and therefore would probably spend the money on at a different level, because we've already done the things that are necessary in order to do that, like decreasing class size and focusing on reading and math and things of that sort. Now, this bill that you're before you today is really, and I agree with Representative Winters on this, is really a quite different thing. This is an attempt to begin running out the pilot programs that the College of Education at Eugene has already been using in some other districts successfully, to be of assistance in particularly low-functioning districts. It's a separate thing, and if you'll note the language in the bill, in section 6, line 43, in addition to not in lieu of other appropriation, I would let you know that I don't consider these to be connected in the way that I think Representative Smith thinks they are, and that I would only support this bill as it relates to an additional appropriation beyond the amounts specified in the governor's proposal.
Question.
And back to Representative Smith, and then Representative Hobson.
I also sit on the House Student Achievement and Accountability Committee, and we have heard much testimony on this bill in 3307, which is directly, I think, the same thing as 3941. My whole point I'm trying to make with this and the small school funding is, to me, we are setting ourselves up for redundant programs when I think they all could be accomplished under one bill. And I know Representative Winters has spent entire session on going through the human resources budget and trying to eliminate duplicate programs. I understand that she thinks we're mixing apples with oranges here, but I'm just really concerned that we're going piecemeal targeting specific pieces of legislation trying to accomplish the same thing, and that's teaching our young children to read. So I don't know. I'm supportive of this. I'm just thinking that maybe we can, it's probably not going to work, but thinking that we could address some of these funding issues through a whole bigger piece of legislation, because the previous bill that we passed out without funding, you know, doesn't do anything. I mean, it's really a useless piece of legislation. We pass out something that won't be funded. So that's what I'm trying to get at.
Sue, I'm assuming that one of the recommendations that you were made, that the standard gifts and grants and federal language would also be incorporated in this, so that should President Bush in his initiative make some dollars available, that it will be able to come into this, and that's even though there's no funding here currently, that is not unusual for a bill to go out without having an appropriation in it, but we put a line to language that should something become available, then you don't have to go through the policy all over again. So that's kind of, I think, where Sue is heading. Representative Hobson, I think you had some comments or questions.
Yes, actually, you generated another one. Thank you, Madam Chair. In regard to the funding, we haven't established that the funding's out. Is that correct, Sue? As of now, the funding is in.
Madam Chair and Representative Hobson, if I understand your question correctly, you're wondering if this appropriation is in or out of the bill, and right now there is no funding that's been identified to fund this bill. My recommendation would be that you take out Section 6 and 7.
Senator Trell.
I was wondering, Representative Cruz, when you had your hearing on the bill in the other committee, the department testified, are they supporting this? They want this program?
Senator Trell, they're supportive of the program. Funding becomes obviously an issue here. In response to Representative Smith,
I'll answer my question.
Okay, yeah, they are.
We have a letter.
Okay, they are supportive
of the program. Yes.
Program.
It was problematic as to how this got funded and where it got funded from. They had some difficulty with that piece of it.
Okay. Thank you.
To Representative Smith, I would say this is a slightly different focus because this is K-3, and the whole design behind this program is to. Because at the end of third grade is where children theoretically stop reading to learn and start learning to read. And so the focus is to try to have kids at grade level when that transition in the education process takes place. So this is a very specific focus for a very specific reason. And unlike Representative Barnhart, I'll take the money any place I can get it for this thing. So you find a funding bill that you can put the money in, that would be great.
Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a question for Jean Thorne, and maybe
it can be answered by others as well. We are dealing with the apples and oranges piece and with the thought that the big bill that we have, the $220,000, deals with grade 3. It deals with measuring the achievement level at grade 3. I think we're kind of subverting the idea if we don't realize we start teaching them in K before they get to 3. I'm still confused and would be happy if someone could make it perfectly clear that this is not a specific University of Oregon program, that isn't there at all. It was in the original bill because it was heard before our substantive committee as well. But I heard Representative Barnhart talk about it and that it was being taught and those kinds of things. So I'd like for the record to have that really clear, and I don't think it is.
Okay. Do you want to hear from Jean, do you know, or you want to hear from...
I'm Jean for whoever.
Okay.
Okay, Representative Hobson. I think...
Your name for the record again.
Yes, Linda Carnine, Lane County Community Action Forum. I think your question is whether or not this bill has a specific program. It has no specific program. It's using the National Reading Panel's findings on effective programs across the United States. It's not even just the research at the University of Oregon. It's national research. It's a consolidation of all of that research and the programs that have those components in them. And it's not one particular curriculum. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think your question is, when we talk about a program, is this using a particular curriculum or a particular assessment in the schools in Oregon? And it's not. It's using the findings, the research base that's been reported in the National Reading Panel and in all the national publications, but basically using that best practice information to help schools in implementing.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Then, if this isn't a specific program, going along with what Representative Smith was indicating, could school districts not choose to identify their own poor-performing schools and to, in fact, implement programs using the funding and the program that's available under the other bill, the $220,000 for $220 million? I have a hard time with those zeros.
Well, I think that there is that option, and I know that I've talked with Jean Thorne about this as well. The problem is that, as we know, our schools have a lot of issues before them, and they haven't identified these monies for this type of initiative in the past. And that's why it's here, because we've just been doing the same thing, and we have been getting many of the same results. There are definitely places that are improved, and as we pointed out, the Department of Education has been doing some of these practices already. There are 24 pilot studies that they've worked on with similar kinds of approaches already, but it hasn't been implemented as an initiative at all. And I think that the funding problems right now are so great in the public schools that for them to take further initiative to implement early success kinds of efforts is not likely to happen. We want to see something to change that.
In reviewing some of the material that you sent out, and it was, I think, part of the intent of the bill is to put us into a position to receive the federal funds as a result of Senate Bill 377, which is the Early Literacy Intervention Initiative Act. Is that not correct? Was that part of the intent so that we would have already in place in Oregon?
Well, yes. Basically, the Reading First initiative from the Bush administration, which has passed both the House and Senate, is now in conference, parallels basically what we're talking about here. And this bill should position us very well for receiving those funds and being able to get them kind of ahead of the curve.
Right.
Representative Hobson.
Is it your opinion then that we would not be eligible for any of these funds as a department or districts if we didn't have this bill?
No, I don't know. But I'm just saying this should position us better get those funds. I don't know whether or not. I think that they still are, they're going to be grants to all states.
Yeah.
In any case, they'll grants to all states.
Representative Hobson, and I think that's true. I think the money comes. It's whether we are going to be in a position once those funds get here to head in a specific direction. And this gives us a vehicle to move in that specific direction. The reason that we sized it the way we did, and number one, it's not a mandate. It's school districts that want to participate. And our sense is that once they are doing this and once we develop a track record and show success, it's going to be a self-actuating thing, because other folks are going to want to jump on this bandwagon and get their children up to this level too. So from our perspective, it's putting a whole lot of faith in this process and in the system, because it does work. And this gives us the chance to demonstrate that and come back with a stronger position next time around to say we need to grow this program. So,
yeah. Okay.
Madam Chair, Representative Hobson, I just wanted to add to that. A minute ago, I think I misspoke. I would support this bill whether there's funding attached to it or not, for exactly the reason that I think the question suggests, and that is that I believe that this provides an additional vehicle through which it's possible to generate other funds. And one of the things that the College of Education has been very good at is generating other funds to assist in its research and in its operations. I know that it's one of the most entrepreneurial departments on a very entrepreneurial campus at the University of Oregon. So while I think that it is appropriate and reasonable for the legislature to appropriate these funds, simply having the bill available as a law and allowing them to raise funds to support this endeavor is still a useful thing.
I was wondering if Representative Cruz, as sponsor of the bill, would consider it a change of a single word in Section 5, line 34, change the shall to may and give the Department of Education some discretion as to whether or not it would award grants. For one thing, may not have them. It may be that some schools could get federal funds on their own without getting a grant. It just makes it permissive. Sue, is there other reasons why we...
consider it so just subject to the availability of funding?
Madam Chair, Senator Trow, if that's the pleasure of the committee, my main objective here is to get this in the book so that when the money becomes available, and I do think we're looking at federal money for this, that we are in a position to send out, to allow folks to RFP to this program.
So you're okay with the...
Could we have that change?
Oh, where was that again?
Change on line 34, page
yes.
Two.
Yes. Thank you, Senator.
Michelle DeMay.
Is there any other recommended changes?
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, the bill, even if you do make that change, it would still require the University of Oregon to design and monitor the early success reading initiatives. And if you look at the fiscal that I distributed for you, you'll see that they originally estimated administrative costs of $200,000 with two positions to do this. But again, as I pointed out earlier, the bill before you does allow them to seek grants and private funds to support the early success reading initiative to the extent that they wouldn't be able to get those grants and or private funds. And they go ahead and implement this legislation, they would have to internally fund it if you don't provide the $230,000 in this bill.
So your recommendation is to?
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, as we did with the previous bill where you...
delete Section 6 and Section 7?
Describe legislative counsel. Opinion on, if you don't include funding, what that really means. interest that they're implementing the legislation. I think the same would be true here if you don't provide the funding and they can't internally assume.
And then we would insert the language of as funds available and with the they can accept grants and federal dollars.
Madam Chair, I would work with legislative council to make sure the appropriate language gets in there.
Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Assuming that the money is out and we adopt this early success reading initiative, and we do it in anticipation of accumulating or getting some federal funding, how does this impact the reading programs at Linfield or Portland State or Oregon State? Does this give the University of Oregon the funnel into which those funds come?
I'm not certain that if you're talking federal dollars and not having seen the language, and maybe, Linda, I would think not, because most of them are competitive.
I think the funds go to school districts. They don't go to any institution of higher ed.
Representative Hobson.
I guess if that's the case and the money's out, what is the purpose of this legislation?
Can I come? Representative Close.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just direct you to the federal legislation, 377. It says here that the states that get these grants have to show that they've implemented early literacy intervention and that they've demonstrated that they have done it effectively. So, to me, this bill moves us in that direction, makes us more eligible to receive these federal grants.
That was nice. Senator Troll, would you make the motion? I need a motion to...
I would move that we amend the bill to conceptually to take out the funding.
And also the Section 5, that may instead of shall.
The may instead of shall.
Senator Troll moves that we conceptually amend the bill. We take out Section 6, Section 7, and insert with the standard language for available funding, federal and grants, and that on line 34 of Section 5 that we change from May to from shall to may.
Madam Chair, I will give you a I'll let somebody else move it, but I'll give you a courtesy vote to send it on. I'm still going to decide whether or not I want to go with this. I would be more comfortable if I felt the department had enthusiasm for it, but I don't know that I've seen that, so I'll have to hear that. But I will give you a courtesy vote because I know the votes will be here if you call in Senator Hartung.
Senator Miller.
I'm not so sure they'd be here today because I don't think that our mission is to amend these bills. I think the substantive committees ought to do that. And I wouldn't want to approve anything that's just simply conceptual, because I don't think we do that either. Doing it.
Madam Chair, just for your information, the instructions me were to
not right now.
Go ahead and try to get the subcommittee to move the bill, but remove the fiscal.
So it's to remove the fiscal impact.
And by deleting Section 6 and 7 and changing the shall to may on line 34, I think we've done that.
And Madam Chair, I would also say a sponsor of the bill concurring with those amendments.
Are you right, Senator Miller?
Am I right in seeing the language when it's returned to us?
Then it gets to... It'll,
Madam Chair and Senator Miller, that will be at full. Although, when I get back from council, if you like, I can certainly get them to your office.
Yeah, it seemed like we had a little more discussion about the University of Oregon's role and all kinds of things that maybe ought to be resolved before we pass on this.
Madam Chair and Senator...
But I'm just one vote.
Miller. again, I think, and I will confirm this with council, but I think as with the previous bill, by directing or allowing the University of Oregon to get grants and private funds, and we can expand that to include federal funds and other sources, that if they cannot get those funds to implement this, and they cannot do it internally, but and they would not be expected to implement the legislation.
I guess, Madam Chair, my point is that these are matters that should be before the substantive committee, and when they resolve them, they can send it to us for our approval of the funding. But if there are some other issues attached as to what amount of involvement a university has, or whether it shall or whether it's may, I don't think that's within the purview of this committee.
Is it the shall may change? Because we have consistently have removed the funding from other bills. We just did it at 965.
I concur. The funding decision is ours.
Okay. It's the shall and may.
Other language, I mean, operatively controls whether it is. I mean, shall and may, there's
okay.
It's quite a difference.
Then, Sue, you need to get Senator Clark on here.
Do you want to recess?
We'll recess and tell Senator Clark.